Future Voices Group puts Youth Voice at the heart of Youth Futures Foundation. We currently have 13 young ambassadors who collectively feed into our vision and strategy and act as our ambassadors and advocates for young people across England on the issue of employment. They are also split into three subgroups that work more intensively across our three strategic pillars: identifying what works, investing in potential, and igniting change. Today, we're going to hear from our Invest subgroup on the topic of championing youth voice. They reflect on various pieces of work they have undertaken with Youth Futures as a subgroup team, their own experiences of good youth voice practices, and how funders can better support youth-led organisations. They conclude with a series of valuable and inspiring calls to action for us all.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm 19, and I'm a member of the Future Voices group in the Invest subteam. I'm currently a university student and I study human sciences.
Hi everyone, my name is Naomi Robinson. I'm also a member of the Future Voices group alongside Cindy, Plam and Subhan, and we are part of the Invest subgroup. A bit about me, I'm from North London and I currently work as a technology consultant. So I've been in the tech industry for about 2.5 years.
Hey everyone, I'm Plam. I'm 18 and I'm currently at sixth form. Like the others already mentioned, I'm also part of the Future Voices group and the Invest subgroup. A little more about me, I'm originally from Bulgaria and moved to England several years ago. And I've been enjoying my time here a lot.
Hi everyone, finally, I'm Subhan Ahmed. I'm also 18. I'm also in sixth form studying history, economics and maths. Just like the rest of these guys, I'm also a member of the Future Voices group and I'm part of the Invest subgroup. I enjoy doing youth work and I'm also the Youth West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner for Birmingham West.
In October 2021, the Invest subgroup co-produced and co-facilitated a workshop on supporting youth voice with Youth Futures and the British Youth Council. This was part of our series of workshops supporting our What Works programme grantees to build their capacity across a number of key areas. By sharing their experiences and facilitating group discussions, the Invest subgroup supported our grantees to reflect on their youth voice practices and draft their own calls to action.
I don't mind starting this one off. One of the most important pieces of work I've done, I'd say that was successful in actually initiating youth voice was one of the workshops we did a couple of months back. So I think the co-designing of it was one of our more kind of active tasks, as opposed to perhaps just simply producing a piece of work, written work, or listening to a talk or workshop by someone else. And I think our involvement was definitely like key to creating a basis on which the grantees could then reflect and comment on, because I think it's really important we communicate openly and that we're transparent, but also kind of professional in our interactions with grantees or with any other people who play important or significant roles in this kind of sector. In particularly with that workshop, we were also able to share each of our personal experiences. And I think that was an effective method to kind of keep the workshop personal to each of us, but also useful and interesting to grantees. Again, the task really kind of promoted that notion of youth-initiated work, because we designed the workshop for the most part, chose the topics for discussion, and having seen the feedback we received from the workshop, I think the participants also found great benefit in that kind of independent, like, youth aspect of it. And I think that was a really effective way in engaging ideas between ourselves and the grantees. What do you guys think?
I agree. I think it was quite effective to kind of have that kind of leadership position within the youth voice workshop that we did. And I think if like grantees or people listening to this have the opportunity to give young people a chance to have ownership over something, it's not only a like really good character building experience, but it also can produce really good outcomes. And yeah, so some of the things that like I did in there is giving in my personal insights, and I also talked about my entrepreneurial insights, because often grantees are like focused on getting people into employment, but some of the things that we figured out in the Future Voices group is that self-employment is like an up-and-coming interest of young people. And yeah, it was a really good opportunity to kind of share what a young entrepreneur like is looking for, and like give advice and some insight in terms of that.
I'll also share about an opportunity that I've been involved with. Just as Cindy was talking about entrepreneurship, I was given the opportunity to participate in some research that Youth Futures Foundation was conducting alongside their research partner called Clearview Research. The task was to look into entrepreneurship for young people as a feasible option as a career. So it's quite interesting when Cindy was mentioning her insights as an entrepreneur. And I feel like the research was really important, and the workshops within that was really gave a good light to show how young people are represented in entrepreneurship. Because a lot of the time, I think when I personally think about entrepreneurship, I have this perception that it's someone that's older, that's had a long successful career, and then they just choose entrepreneurship as an option. However, my participation in that research and that workshops showed me that entrepreneurship can be a feasible route for someone that's just leaving school, or someone that wants to try entrepreneurship, and that could allow them to access so many different opportunities as well. So I think it's really important for Youth Futures Foundation to commission such an important piece of work, because when we talk about youth unemployment, I think it's really necessary to include all aspects of what that term means. So just not having a job, a 9-to-5, but also entrepreneurship and self-employment. So other than the workshop that Subham mentioned, that would have been my top workshop that I really enjoyed as well. But I thought, as Cindy was talking about entrepreneurship, I'll share that experience of being quite close working with that research.
Yeah, I personally also found the capacity building workshop to be quite main part to all the work that we've been doing in terms of what it brought to us. I think having that kind of closeness with all the grantees, and I just felt very authentic. The idea of, because we were able to co-design and co-facilitate, and we had so much impact on the topics that were being talked about, and we were really, it really came through that we were passionate about them. And what we were able to share, like Naomi mentioned, her connection to the research, I think all the bits we were able to share with the grantees, we've had a great connection to. So I think it was very beneficial to both sides. And I think I actually found that I learned quite a bit from it. I think the grantees and the practices they already had in place, and the ideas that they had, and the way that it was really a space for them to share with each other. And although they worked in slightly different ways, using different methods to engage with youth and employment, it was very interesting to see that some of the practices that they employed were actually very similar. So a lot of them, when discussing what they might want to do for next steps following the workshop, were thinking about potentially setting up Future Voices group styled youth groups, where they have a consistent panel of youth voice that can feed into all the work in the directory that they do. And they were also talking about the feedback that we got, because I talked about a personal experience working with CAMS and kind of as part of an interviewing process, where I was working as an interviewer to recruit the people that are going to be working with other young people, kind of having that impact on who the team that young people get to interact with constantly is, because that makes such a major difference on how the interaction goes. And a lot of the grantees said that they see that as a good idea, but even further, because having like youth voice implemented in such a great level is quite difficult sometimes, even taking smaller surveys or adding extra bits of youth voice, they said would be a great way for them to move forward.
Thanks for that plan, because I completely agree with the notion of kind of relatability and having relevance to youth-related work in regards to young people, because moving away from the kind of workshop, a more kind of independent piece of work I did was speaking at an online roundtable discussing what we could do to tackle unemployment coming out of the pandemic. And that event was in partnership with the IPPO, the International Public Policy Observatory. I only spoke for about 5 to 10 minutes, but I touched on some really important topics that resonated with me, being only 18 at the time, or 17, touched on topics like inclusivity, workplace readiness, work experience. And that's a piece of work I really enjoyed, because not only was I given the opportunity to speak to some really high profile individuals, but it was really related to me, to the experiences of my friends and my peers. So I was really able to kind of express my passions, express my opinions, and completely freely without any kind of criticism. So yeah, I think that sort of relatability and relevance to the topic at hand is really important.
Yeah, we kind of discussed the idea that having youth voice there and having young people share their opinions and what they want from the companies that they work with and the grantees that we're working with is a very important aspect. But another important aspect is kind of going back to young people and telling them what's happening with the projects that they give feedback on the work that they're giving back on. Or even if, let's say, some kind of project didn't work the way that young people might have fed into it because exterior circumstances led it not to be able to happen, kind of giving young people the idea of why it didn't happen and the kind of appreciating their voice and showing that they're recognized and that their voice has actually been used in order to achieve something. Like, what do the rest of you think when you think of feedback loops?
Yeah, I mean, a point that I made, like in the capacity building workshop, was that it's important to treat youth voice as equal to like full-time workers, like adult voice. I think sometimes it can be tokenistic. Like, well, a worry was that the grantees were like kind of worrying about how to include young people without making it tokenistic. And I think that's a really good way to do that, to build like some type of accountability and some type of like, we took your ideas and we didn't just listen to them so that we can check a box, but then we actually went and did some work and like, we can clearly see how your as a young person, your involvement has impacted X, Y, Z. And yeah, I just think that's the key way to not make any like youth voice involvement or when including young people, to not make it useless. Useless is a bit strong word, but to just make sure that, you know, they're treated as though they are important stakeholders, because they really are at the end of the day.
That's an amazing point, Cindy. Actually, I was thinking about that, and I think it came up in the workshop as well, that incentive is actually a very important part to youth voice. I think kind of the recognition part does really come from kind of having something to show for your voice, whether it is a skill that you are able to gain or whether it's kind of having the opportunity to network with people. And when like asking for that voice, being able to really advertise that this is what you are, like the young person is going to gain from giving their voice as well. The relationship isn't one-sided. We're not only gaining your insight into this, which is important, but like young people are actually gaining something further than being able to share their voice as well. I think one of the grantees actually mentioned about what they do in their company, kind of the idea of pizza parties and kind of the idea of providing young people with more of a safe space by using like food as a way to bring them in and make the setting a little more comfortable for when they're sharing their voice as well.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about feedback and just continuous improvement, I think something that should be considered in future, well, pardon the pun, but future voices groups, cohorts after us, is definitely making the capacity building workshops and their particular focus on youth voice input a continual workshop, like a frequent workshop, because it would be good to see. I feel like the momentum was really strong when we were in our mini breakouts and asking these youth organizations how they incorporate youth voice and also what they plan to do. But I think I would be more motivated and interested to see what they have done over time, because I think it's easy to say in the moment when you have young people in front of you, like, yeah, we're going to do this. But I think as a solution to just ensure that grantees in our portfolio are actually kept accountable to the actions that they're putting down, is just having that consistent face-to-face interaction over time, dependent on how long they're with YFF. So yeah, I think for me in the future, that's something that I think we could, our future cohorts could act as, that could be a practice that is like annual or twice a year, because we have so much positive feedback and we all enjoy facilitating that. But I think that could really embed the youth voice into organizations instead of it just being a really great conversation, but actions not being sustainable. So I think as well with the topic of, you know, feedback with Youth Voice, I think it's just the emphasis of making sure that it's continuous and it's, yeah, it's sustainable, and how we can make sure that we are part of that, part of motivating organisations to really keep accountable to everything they've said.
I really agree with that point, and also agree with the incentive. I think in the short term, it's like really good to have like those little extras. But in the long term, it's also nice if you want to get young people involved to kind of think about how you can actively benefit the young person. So a lot of things that people are looking at, young people are looking for, is employment or experience or insight or information, and to break down barriers of like understanding or barriers of like how to get an internship, how to get work experience and things like that. And kind of thinking as a company, how can you use your contacts or your resource to help the young people you work with in the long term after they give you their voice as a return? So I think some of the examples I would probably would like, and that we have gotten, is we're asked like what kind of skills we want to develop within the Future Voices group through a survey. So as a result, we've had like policy. One thing that we wanted to know more about is policy, and we've had like experts coming to talk to us about it. I also wanted to learn about like content making, and we had a content making session where we learned how to make video and blogs and things like that. And yeah, I just think it's really important to kind of see what your young involvement with a young person is, not like a one time and that's it, but kind of just thinking more holistically about how you can continue that relationship and for it to be reciprocal as you work with the young person and get their youth voice.
Just off the back of your point there, Cindy, it's also quite important to recognise that yes, it shouldn't be a one-time thing, but there are also going to be very different levels of engagement. Not every young person is going to want to commit to, like, I don't know, 7 sessions of 2-hour discussions every other month. Some young people are still, whose voice still really matters and who still want to give their voice and share their opinions, might only be able to commit to maybe a 15-minute survey every once in a while, and they still their insight that they're giving is still really important, and they like their voice still deserves to be recognized. So I think in general came up that it's quite important for anyone working with young people who's in need of more youth voice to actually recognize that there are going to be different levels of involvement and different levels of engagement from young people, but that every single one of them is just as important as the other. And that whilst having something like the Future Voices group is a brilliant way to get youth voice, still continuing to speak to other young people and to have surveys where young people might be able to spend less time but still give in very useful feedback and share their opinions is really important as well.
Yeah, I'd second that point, because I think the notion of kind of accommodating for all young people is really important, because just as you said, we're able to kind of spend 11 hours a month with the Youth Futures Foundation. But in regards to other youth work, not every young person can maintain or sustain, as you said, like 7 hours of even something they want to pursue or want to work on or be a part of. The thing is, young people have a lot of pressures in other compartments, be it education or sports. There's so many different things young people are getting up to now and are busy in and contributing to society. People or kind of policymakers or whoever it is working with young people need to be able to accommodate for them and have that understanding and realise that young people aren't able to give so much amount of time. Although youth work is great and youth voice is the key here, that issue of timing and it could probably or it could perhaps just that kind of thought or maybe an email or a survey kind of asking young people, how much time could you contribute to this survey or how much time could you contribute to that workshop? Maybe it would show them that these people actually care about, you know, us. It's not just here's, as Plam said, a 7 sessions or 7 hours of whatever it is in across 2 months or however long it is. You know, it's just that idea of accommodating and kind of taking into account the pressures young people have as well.
Yeah, not only that, but I think even further accommodating young people in terms of it's important to recognise that while you might be doing an in-person session, certain young people may not be able to get transportation or have some accessibility needs which may prevent them from doing this. So kind of being able to accommodate the format in which you're actually gathering this voice is also an important aspect of being able to get a holistic view of youth voice and actually being able to get people from very different backgrounds and very different situations to be able to contribute, which will really make a huge difference on any project that anyone's taking on.
Yeah, you touched on accessibility, and like to emphasize, like young people with disabilities might not find like some types of contributing as easy as possible. So I think if possible, like keeping options open to contribute to Youth Voice is really important, and kind of like having multiple options people can young people can choose from, like whether they want to communicate through text, through a video, through a survey, and things like that. But also, like, I know this is quite a lot of different things to do, and especially if you're a small company, it's quite hard. So to be honest, any Youth Voice is better than none. But I think, yeah, to get the most representative and comprehensive ideas and things, it's important to kind of think about how it can make it can be made as accessible as possible for the majority of young people.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point both of you mentioned there, Plam and Cindy, because it's, you know, I mentioned just time as one issue, but then you've got all the other issues that you guys mentioned. And I think that's where the future Voices group has been successful in terms of diversity and having such a diverse group of people, because in my experience, when I'm sitting in meetings as the Youth Crime Commissioner, there's probably about 16 or around 15 to 16 commissioners. And I've said in the meeting myself that, you know, it's great for us guys to all be here and represent each different area in the West Midlands. But to be honest, we've all come from very similar backgrounds, we're all educated, we've all got an interest in this kind of sector, or it's inevitable we're all going to do, and you know, to not be as patronizing, but we're all going to do kind of well, or we'll get somewhere, if you understand what I'm saying. It's like I was sitting in a meeting and I asked, like, where's the isolated young people, you know, how would they learn about becoming a youth commissioner, how would they learn about the Future Voices group, how would you know about the Future Voices group? And I think that's a really important thing that a lot of youth work is missing out, being able to represent those communities that don't have exposure to youth kind of voice or youth outlets like this one. So I think that's really important, trying to be accessible and accommodate for those people that aren't getting the exposure that maybe us guys are getting. When I'm sitting in my meeting, seeing a table full of educated young people, you know, wondering where's the underrepresented young people in this room.
The Invest subgroup have provided invaluable insights into our current grantee portfolio. One of their main reflections and challenges to us was that we are not currently supporting many youth-led organisations. On the back of this, the Invest subgroup conducted research into the youth-led organisations in the employability space, and explored the reasons why these may or may not have met Youth Futures' funding criteria to date.
Kind of the task came about after we were looking at our own grantee portfolio and kind of the types of organisations we have in there and what we perhaps think it's lacking. And what we found that we thought we lacked was actually organisations to do with youth and employment that are designed and led by young people, having the youth voice ingrained and just from the very core of the company and organization itself. I can't speak for everyone, but I'm fairly sure we all came to a similar consensus. And it's that although some of these groups do exist, there's actually very few youth-led organizations out there. And I think we came up with several reasons why that may be, but I'll let the others speak about that.
Yeah, so when we were doing the research, one key thing is that which was rare, like in the grand scheme of things, we could find a registered company that had like met the brief of what we were looking for, then it was difficult for them to meet the brief of what Youth Futures Foundation would be looking for in terms of funding. I think a lot of young leaders' companies did not meet the minimum funding, minimum income per year, things that kind of make it impossible for, yeah, for them to gain funding and expand, which was quite disappointing. I think one of the things that that highlights is, although there was young leaders like available to kind of lead these companies, a lot of them aren't able to progress and like scale. And that was quite upsetting to see. I saw quite a lot of like small companies or small projects, but I would like to see in the future more funding opportunities for those companies. One thing was they had to be in existence for more than 3 years. And I think that's quite hard for something that we touched on earlier was time commitment. I think young people, and I'm sure like everyone else relate to this, have 1,000 things going on at once. When in a landscape and area of the sector where they tend not to survive, like youth-led organizations tend to not have enough support to survive, it's kind of hard for them to have found one that has existed for more than 3 years, and like the founders are able to sustain themselves and make money and, you know, just survive, which was like a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I think one that stuck with me was it kind of operated off south of London, and it looked at people with experience of the criminal justice, young people with experience of the criminal justice system, and kind of mentoring them back into employment, and using that idea of young people with experience mentoring other young people with experience, and building this community with which is able to both provide opportunities and provide extra just support when looking for employment and getting back into life after the criminal justice system. And I think the biggest problem was, for them at least, well, there was actually a few, but I think two really stuck out. One was their lack of funding and the fact that they really couldn't generate much income, or like they weren't actually able to have a big enough reach and not able to find enough sponsors and people that can help sustain the program in the long term, which meant that they didn't really have the opportunity to grow. And I think it kind of, the two are kind of really connected, but they were also didn't have a very, like they weren't able to network and actually reach other companies and find other people that can help support their initiative and help support them as an organization further, which really hindered that process of them being able to find funds that can that sustain them and that allow them to continue their work in mentoring and supporting young people.
Yeah, I really agree with what you said. I think I took up from this is that because a lot of you young CEOs or directors don't have those industry connections, it can be kind of hard for them to survive as a company long term. And I think it kind of links to what we were saying earlier about young people wanting to be entrepreneurs. Although like that's something that a lot of young people have interests in, when looking at like the landscape or like the percentage that like survive or like are able to meet criteria for like funding, like with a minimum income of 50,000 it was for our task, it's very like demoralizing. But I think also there's not really that much that can be done directly to fix this like problem, in my opinion, like right now. But I think what a really good way to kind of like still have youth-led things within an organization that already exists is by like promoting young people within a company up the ranks to leadership positions. I think that doesn't happen enough in like social enterprises, and that can be done for like apprenticeships, through like just promoting people that will like just and like increasing the hours of a young person. And then we can kind of tackle the problem that way by improving like leadership within a company, improving the percentage of young people in leadership positions within companies that already meet the funding requirements.
I think we've talked about it before in terms of YFF and just the entry requirements and how accessible that is for youth-led organisations, because it's definitely a balance between making it accessible to youth-led organisation and youth founders, but also sticking to the essence of what YFF do and making sure that it's just sustainable in terms of their portfolio. And I guess for solutions, the most immediate thing that I could think about is just having kind of a separate stream or separate entry requirement for youth-led organisations. So as Cindy said, one of the requirements was to have a certain number of years in operation. And I also remember another requirement specifying how much revenue you have in a year. And I just thought immediately, for a young person to make that type of revenue, that's something they would have to do as a full-time role. Whereas for me personally, a lot of the young people that have started organizations are doing it as a side project alongside a main job with the hope to make it a full-time role. I would say a solution would be to have like a youth stream that for youth-led organizations, they could have separate entry requirements that would be similar to the other grantees, but there would be certain exceptions to kind of accommodate what young people are going through and just considering, okay, this might be a part-time or side project that they want to turn to full-time. So I don't know whether that could be like any financial reliefs or any additional support that can really encourage youth-led organizations to apply. But I guess that's if there is a focus to get more youth-led organizations. But yeah, essentially, I feel like there would need to be a separation between the grantee process that we already have and one for youth-led organizations if we really want to be intentional about attracting those type of organizations.
That's a brilliant idea, Naomi. I would have never thought of that, but yeah, or even kind of just on the, off the back of that, you're altering, so if the organization is a bit smaller, perhaps altering the amount of grant they can receive or the type of grant that they're receiving. Personally, my immediate reaction was, even if you can't really provide them with the financial support because their resume might not be as stable as the company to, as YFF or any other organization can afford to fund, kind of potentially giving them a platform and kind of allowing for that network where they'd be able to build the funds themselves, maybe having, a newsletter or some kind of part of the website or a forum where these youth-led organizations can be promoted, or even they can use the website to promote themselves. And kind of, because organizations like the YFF and other similar organizations have much bigger, like they have a bigger reach and bigger network, and just allowing them to use that network just to build themselves up as well would be a great idea.
I really like the idea. And like to kind of draw on the capacity building workshop again, one thing that the grantees, like leaders, found helpful was to like meet each other and like kind of talk to each other because they're doing similar type of work like in parallel to each other, which was good because they were able to learn from like what other youth employment charities or organizations are doing, the ways they're approaching things. And I think that youth-led organizations could really benefit from being inside of those type of conversations and inside those circles to kind of get mentoring on how to like improve and how to do different things in their companies. And then more specifically to like the grant application, I think sometimes it can seem inaccessible because of the format. I think sometimes it can be like quite intimidating and it's like hard to like get the wording right. So I think what would be really good is to have like a how to get your company grant worthy, like kind of checklist or like report or some type of information deck that people can follow and kind of improve on and, you know, kind of build so that they can get to a stage where they can move up the next step and actually build their companies.
Yeah, I'd agree with what you guys were saying, especially the point Cindy made in that. If the criteria for grantees is difficult, then obviously for youth-led organizations, it would be extremely hard to fulfill the criterion. And so I think perhaps being realistic, perhaps the Youth Futures Foundation could look at or kind of experiment with the idea of maybe compromising, maybe one of those criterion in the event that that youth-led organization is excelling in another criterion. For example, I think Cindy mentioned having to have a certain amount of revenue and having to have been sustaining themselves as a youth-led organisation for 3 years. So perhaps if an organisation was to have been running for double that, or like 7, 8, 9 years, but weren't making the revenue requirement, maybe the organisation in terms of Youth Futures would be able to compromise that one criterion in exchange for that organisation excelling in the other one, if that makes sense.
So my call of action for listeners is to think of ways they can automate the integration of Youth Voice within their decisions and within the operations, to kind of make it impossible not to include Youth Voice, to make it easier to do it, and to make sure that it's a priority in all major decisions, and that like the kind of the things we've been going through today, like feedback and ways to make sure it's accessible, is implemented in a way that Youth Voice works within your company.
I would say calls to action that I would have for just organizations and companies that are really committed to including the opinion and voice of young people is just to have as many routes of entry into their organization. And that necessarily doesn't have to be through a youth advisory board, such as Future Voices Group, which is great. But I think more towards like work experience and like internships, apprenticeships, and just making sure that they have as many structured programs for young people to like enter the industry. Because I feel that when you have a young workforce that are really close to your product or service that you're delivering, it just naturally includes their opinion. So when Cindy was talking about automating the inclusion of Youth Voice, I feel that if a company has young people in their workforce already, it won't be additional effort for them to consciously engage as many more young people. And yeah, I would say I feel like this is a doable call to action, especially with like initiatives from the government, such as the Kickstarter scheme, where the government is funding companies to hire interns and hire apprentices to join. So I think that this could be a solution that would be beneficial to a company by like investing in like junior young talent, but also for the young person to gain skills, get experience in the industry, but also, you know, naturally give their opinion as a young person, but also as a worker. So yeah, I would say that would be my action, that every organization needs to seriously consider like their programs they have for young people from different walks of life and to enter their workforce.
Yeah, so I think I'd say to organizations that in whatever work you're doing with young people, try and make it as relevant as it can be to young people and the demographic you're trying to reach, the demographic you're trying to interact with. Because as we touched on earlier, when we ourselves as young people are really passionate about a topic or really passionate about something, we're often more willing to contribute towards it. And I think once we're passionate about something, the opportunity to speak about that topic or give our views or share our views in itself becomes an incentive for young people. And then I guess with that, ensure that you're following up and completing that feedback loop with young people, because it will definitely give young people reassurance that something is happening and it keeps them interested. But also maintain that and try your best to sustain that and yeah, keep them informed.
My call to action is kind of partly echoing everyone else's. I think the key two things I'd say would be to keep flexible and to have it be like any work, Youth Voice work that you're implementing, have it be a constant discussion. Treat it as something that the young people are putting into, and you're giving something back, and it's consistently that feedback loop and that idea that you're discussing with them, and it's ongoing until you reach a point where you believe that whatever project or whatever issue you're working on has actually been addressed and achieved. And for the flexibility, it's kind of that touching again upon that idea that young people have they can commit at different levels, and being able to any degree that possible, because obviously different companies may not be as flexible as others, being able to accommodate for different young people and make sure that you hear a scope of different voices in order to ensure you have a holistic view of what any single issue actually carries or any project requires in terms of what young people think is actually met.